This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. And ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And do not forget, you can still email me. Love, hate, death threats, questions. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. All right, Jesse. The guy goes on to talk about the pro-life movement and whatnot. They explain that the pro-life movement currently views abortive mothers as victims, not held legally responsible for murdering their children. What is the biblical response to mothers who have had a hand in killing their own children? What about doctors who carry out this heinous act? Thank you for... He's essentially saying, what about holding women accountable who've had an abortion, legally holding them accountable? And look, I understand this position, and honestly, I probably lean that way with a big, big disclaimer on it. Remember this. We want legislative solutions oftentimes for problems that are not legislative problems. We've had this talk when it comes to the child tranny stuff, really any tranny stuff, but we'll make it about these kids who are abused. And you want your state, I want my state to ban that. There should be no doctor, nobody allowed to do these things to a child. But what have we talked about on the show before? You shouldn't have to ban something like that. You should live in a society where even if you have a demon who wants to do something like that, they're so afraid of the social shame in society that would come with doing something like that, that they just wouldn't do it. The culture should be good enough that you don't have to ban child tranny surgeries. When it comes to abortion, it's virtually the exact same argument. Pass a law, ban it, arrest them. Well, that's fine. Okay, fine. But you shouldn't want to kill your baby. That's not a thing that should occur to you. I find this so sad more than anything else that we have so many women who've been indoctrinated for so long, and men, I don't just want to put this on women, they've been indoctrinated for so long that this is an acceptable thing. Well, I mean, which trimester? What? And look, it's awful that this is a thing. It's awful that it loses us elections. It does, too. I've never been naive about that. When people email me and say, Jesse, we need to drop this topic completely because it costs us elections, I don't get mad about that because it's not inaccurate. It does cost us elections. I just don't care. If the whole world, if every person on the planet, all 7 billion of them turned out to be pro-abortion tomorrow, I still would not be. If it cost me every election forever. But man, that's tough, right? Think about this. Gretchen Whitmer blew Tudor Dixon out in Michigan, blew her out in the governor's race. And according to all the exit polls on it, it was abortion-loving women that did it for her. Michigan now lives under total communist rule. The formerly purple state of Michigan lives under total commie control because women love abortion so much. You can pass whatever law you want. Man, we've got to change the soul. We have a people problem, a big people problem, and we can't legislate our way out of a people problem, of a cultural problem. I'm not saying legislation doesn't matter and you shouldn't ban these things or whatever. That stuff's fine, but the problem goes deeper than that. But we want, and I look, I do this too. It's human nature. I'm certainly not pointing any fingers. We want a magic bullet. We just want everything to be okay again. Isn't that what you want? That's what I want. I want everything to be fixed, like, now. Can someone just fix it now? That's why we do this. That's why we project things onto political candidates we love. Ridiculous things that aren't even close to being true, but they represent a magic pill for us. You see this all the time with Trump. A lot of my normie friends and normie neighbors will talk about something that Trump would have nothing to ever do with. We'll talk about crime in New York City. And they'll just say, yeah, we need to get Trump in there and clean that up. What? The president would not have anything to do with crime in New York City, even if he wanted to. What? But for them, he's become the symbol, the magic pill, the silver bullet that's simply going to right all the wrongs, whether or not it has anything to do with reality or even a stance he even has. It doesn't matter. He's become the ultimate catch-all pill. We do the same thing with laws. We just need to pass a law. We need to elect this guy. But there's no silver bullet. There's no magic pill. There's years and years and years of activism and work and working on our culture, or there's we fail. That's what it is. We will dedicate ourselves to taking back our communities, local activism. We will begin at the school board level, city council level, county level. We will begin to fortify and take back our own communities, then our states, then, Lord willing, the country. But that sounds like so much work, and it sounds so many years in the future that people just instinctively reject it. No, we'll just win an election, then we're good. No, we're not. Not even close. It sounds like bad news, but it's actually wonderful news. The truth is, there are things you can do to save the country. No one's going to save it for you, not even Trump. No one's going to get elected president and fix it all. We have to either take back our communities or we've lost. I believe we can, but that's what it's going to take. Dear all-knowing Oracle. A few years ago, you gave a shout out to Randoland, a Twitter account that tracks wasteful government pork spending. I actually know him personally. His name's Will. He's a great dude, and he digs into all these bills and reads them. He's a great dude. Anyway, he reports a ton of spending, like $200,000 grant for some random African country to perform some random commie social project. Are there actual contractors / nonprofits performing this work? Is this just a government slush fund to enrich politically connected? I find it hard to believe someone's actually going to Somalia to promote LGBTQ acceptance. Well, listen. Look, I'm not going to go over the foreign aid bill again that we've been talking about in the show, but it ties directly into this. These people, when they get into Washington, D.C., and the House of Representatives, and the Senate, and the presidency, they immediately lose touch with the American people. They lose perspective. And what you get when you get to Washington, D.C., you get handed a checkbook. The checkbook is backed by you, by me, by the American taxpayer. And you can just write checks, whatever checks you want, to whoever you want, and send it wherever you want. It's very, very difficult to get these people to be fiscally sane because we hand them a checkbook on the way in and say, hey, backed by the taxpayer, have a great time. And what they do is they go locate their friends, their political allies, and they loot the treasury. They stick their hands in your wallet and pluck money out of it, and they hand all of our money to their friends and their allies. And yes, to answer your question, when it comes to these ridiculous amounts of money for these foreign projects, it almost always goes to an ally of the administration. An ally of the administration in some way. It turns into a big slush fund. This money that gets to Ukraine ends up getting right back into the pockets of the American politicians through defense contractors. You want to see some jaw-dropping information? In fact, I think we're coming up against the break here. I think I'm going to I'll pull this up real quick in a couple minutes. The amount of political donations from defense contractors to American politicians, Republican and Democrat. It's staggering. Why do they do that? Well, it's all one big circle. They steal the money from you and then hand it around to each other. They just kind of pass around the checkbook with your cash. That's the part that aggravates me the most. The leaders of this country, they all just loot the treasury, all of them. They loot it endlessly. Here's a handout for you and a handout for you. Republicans do this too, just like Democrats do it. You get some and you get some. And hey, I stole some more money for a new airport in my district. Make sure you elect me. Oh, here's another $10 million to promote trannyism in Venezuela. That'll be big. I'll send this money to my contractor friends. That's how it works. Looting us, looting the treasury. All about them. Drives me crazy. All right. You know what else drives me crazy? The lack of family we have in this country now, the breakup of the family, and people are just choosing to not start families on purpose. It's not like people want them and they're not getting them, although there's a lot of that. A lot of people are just taking themselves out of it. We have got to start families. We want to take the country back. We got to start families, make babies. The good people have to make babies. Why do you think I tell you about a male vitality stack all the time? Testosterone levels are falling to the point where men don't want to have children or can't. That is societal ending stuff. If we don't start making more babies, then none of these elections matter at all, do they? Ladies, get a female vitality stack in your body. Get your levels right. Fellas, get a male vitality stack in your body. It's not just about making babies. That's just a nice side benefit. You need to get your levels right. And we have to do this stuff naturally. We've got to put away the pill bottle and reach for the chalk bottle. Natural herbal supplements. Huge discount for the lifetime of any subscription until February is over. Exclusive for my listeners. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. Go now.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, doing a little talk here about how they all just loot the treasury. You know, that $95 billion bill that just passed the Senate today. You can't afford milk, eggs, and beef. $95 billion headed for Ukraine, headed for Israel, headed for Taiwan. Why do they do this stuff? Headline. This is Chris did some digging for me during the break. Defense contractors spent $70 million of lobbying ahead of the annual defense budget bill. They were trying to come up with a budget bill last year. Defense contractors dropped $70 million to lobby. Who are these contractors? Well, they're all names you know. Here's just a little list. Lockheed Martin, of course. Boeing. Northrop Grumman. So there's over and over and over again, I could go through these. Millions and millions and millions of dollars spent in lobbying, spent in campaign cash. And then these people get to Washington, D.C., and this is what they sound like.
What a turning point in America. This bill is crucial, and history will look back on it and say, did America fail itself? Why is it crucial? Well, if we don't aid Ukraine, Putin will be walk all over.
Chuck Schumer doesn't care about Ukraine. He doesn't care about Vladimir Putin. He doesn't care about Europe at all. Chuck Schumer cares about remaining a United States senator, and defense contractors writing him large checks is a big reason why he remains a United States senator. Chris, sorry to actually ask you to do some more work here. I know that's hard for you, but would you mind maybe doing just a brief look on the defense contractor donations to Chuck Schumer, his campaign or his PAC? I guarantee you they are sizable. You don't have to do it. You don't have to look this up for him, too. But you could look up Mitch McConnell, John Cornyn, Pelosi, all of them. All of them. Jesse, thank you for taking an interest in Oklahoma politics. As an Oklahoman, I'm frustrated. I liked your advice on running for office. Could you give advice on calling for a recall vote? I want this traitor out before 28. He said, I sent from my Pure Talk phone, so let the bar eat, and his name is Jim. I've been asked this before from time to time. What if we do a recall? What if we do a recall? He's talking about recalling Senator Naked Kendall Lankford. Listen, I shouldn't say never. That's a word you really don't want to use. I'm very, very rarely going to dissuade you from whatever political activism you want to get involved in, including a recall vote, because we need people to be active and active in ways that inspire them. When people email in and say, Jesse, I'm going to run for office, I say, good. Jesse, I'm going to work for a candidate, I say, good. Jesse, I'm going to start donating money to this candidate, I say, good. I want to do a recall, I say, good. I want to do that. You're doing something. The communists never, ever, ever sit out any fight, never sit out anything. They're constantly doing the revolution, constantly tearing down at all times, constantly agitating. That's what the communists do. We have to do likewise. If there is something on your heart to do, do it. If you want to run for United States Senate, do it. You want to be a clerk at the court, do it. You want to be a poll watcher, do it. Whatever way you feel compelled to be an activist, be an activist. Our local activism can't just fall to old people either. I hate it that I walk into a polling place, I'm almost always the only one there voting, and everyone working there is 9,000 years old. That's not an insult on old people, it's an insult on young people. We've got to get involved too. It can't just fall to old retired people. Now, I understand when you're young, like me, well, I'm not very young anymore, but when you're younger, your weekends tend to get gobbled up by kid things. I don't think I have 5 minutes this weekend. It's all this practice and that practice and this event and that. So I understand that, and I'm sympathetic to that. I get it. I'm there with you. But we've got to become better at activism, and we are getting better. I need to emphasize that. We are getting better. Jesse, you're my favorite talk show host because you tell it like it is. I'm 70, and I have trouble having hope for the future of our country. Do you have hope? Oh, of course. Of course I have hope. Listen, we still have millions of wonderful people in this country. Millions of wonderful people. We still have so much of a wonderful way of life that can be saved. And I believe in the God of miracles. Don't you? Look, you never, ever give up hope. Are we in a really, really bad spot right now? We sure are. Is it coming apart on us? It is. Look, I've never sugarcoated that for you. The ship has taken on some water. We're starting to ease beneath the waves. There's no question about it. You always hold out hope. You've lived 70 years. Just know that there will still be people fighting once you're gone. There will still be people fighting once I'm gone. There will still be people fighting once my kids are gone, because we have so many good people in this country. And I'll tell you something else. As a 70-year-old, I hope you're taking Relief Factor every day. Listen, I know the aches and pains that come with being 42. As we get older, the aches and pains come. Your knee hurts. You wake up one day and it's going to rain and your freaking knee hurts. Why is that? How does this happen? You sleep wrong. You can't move your neck. We have to find a solution that's not a pill bottle. It's not a bottle of ibuprofen. That's what Relief Factor is. They are so confident in what they do, they sell three-week quick start kits. It's just a three-week kit, $19.95. Hey, that's them saying, basically, try it. Just try it. Do you know how many people go back and order more? Do you know what their percentage is? 70% of the people who try it for 3 weeks stay on it forever. The stuff is incredible. And again, all natural, drug-free. Even if I say some of the ingredients wrong. Turmeric is how you're supposed to say it, Chris. Whatever. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. Chris, did you get any of that information on Chuck Schumer at all? Ah, you know what Chris just said? He said it's obfuscated by PACs and super PACs. What's he talking about? I'll explain. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. I love the Rolling Stones, man. There's just, it's tough to beat an American band. Hey, Jesse. Oh, by the way, I wanted to finish up my thought on the PACs and super PACs because Chris was digging into how much defense money Chuck Schumer gets. Well, political people who've run campaigns or know this stuff will know what I'm about to say, so just bear with me. Just give me 30 seconds to explain this to a lot of people who don't get it. A campaign like a Jesse Kelly for Congress, right? A failed campaign. A campaign, I can receive money from people and from PACs with limits. What's that mean? Now, back in the day, I'm sure this number is higher now, but back in my day, I think the limit was $2,400. If you wanted to donate to my campaign, you could give $2,400. That same limit applies to a PAC. If they want to give directly to me, that's $2,400. What does that do? I have complete control of that money. Now, it's not doesn't go in my bank account, contrary to what people tell you. I have to spend that money on campaign things, commercials and staff and things like that, but I have total control of it. What happens these days is candidates, in order to disguise a lot of things and in order to take in larger amounts, they'll have super PACs. Now, the rub is if there's a Jesse Kelly super PAC, it would be, you know, Jesse the Vest or something like that. If I had a super PAC, I actually don't get any say in where the money is spent. I'm not really supposed to have any knowledge of it. I can't coordinate at all with my super PAC. Now, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, they all do. Just keep in mind, they all do. Democrats and Republicans, no, they're not sending text messages and emails unless they're idiots. But this guy who works for the PAC sits down at a bar in Milwaukee with some guy from my campaign, and they have a private conversation over a beer over the direction I want the super PAC to go. The super PAC goes and does it. And the super PAC can receive gobs and gobs of money. And then if they do something wrong, too, it gives the candidate deniability. Hey, I didn't have anything to do with that. That's not me. PACs, super PAC, that whole world can get confusing. And I kind of probably oversimplified it a bit there, but that's how that works. Hey, Jesse, King Charles is a green climate change nutter. If population is the biggest problem, why not do the noble thing and decline treatment? Lead by example. That, think of the carbon footprint that would be eliminated. Your thoughts. Well, how do these people see themselves? They see themselves as kings and queens. He actually is one. But remember, it's the peasants who have to die in their eyes. You have to die. You have way too many freedoms. You consume too much stuff. You have your guns and your freedom of speech. And you eat whatever you want. And you drive wherever you want. And it is the job of the kings and the queens to keep the peasants in line. They know the direction the world needs to go. They need more control over everything. And yes, billions of people need to die, but not them. No, you. You need to die. They never, ever lead by example. And also remember, The chances that King Charles actually is a true believer in this climate change stuff are very, very small. The elite communist scum are different than the street communist scum. The street communist scum genuinely believe. You see some pink-haired freak cementing her hand onto a busy highway with her "Save the Planet" crap. That nut job, is she mentally ill? No question about it. But she really believes the earth is burning up and she's trying to save it. Barack Obama doesn't believe that. Barack Obama got up and gave a speech about stopping the rise of the oceans. He then flew his favorite pizza chef from, I think it was St. Louis, maybe Chicago, into Washington to make him a pizza. The elites don't believe any of this stuff. They just know there are plenty of stupid, insane people who will give them power if they promote this stuff. The chances that King Charles actually believes in that stuff, minuscule. He's certainly not going to die for it. Hey, Jesse, can you tell me if the U.S. knew about the Holocaust when we stormed France? We did not. Now, listen, we knew, the Allies knew that Hitler was not exactly being kind with the countries he was taking over. We knew that the Jews were in particular in serious trouble. It's not like Hitler was hiding his disdain for them. He wrote a freaking book about it. He would give public speeches all the time. It's the Jews, it's the Jews, it's the Jews, it's the Jews. The Jews were trying to flee. Many of them, the smart ones, were trying to flee Germany as the Nazis took over. Where the Jews really, really, really suffered, I mean, they suffered everywhere, was in Poland, because they didn't flee Poland because the Nazis hadn't taken over Poland. They all stayed in Poland. There weren't even that many Jews in Germany. We're only like 2% or something like that. It was a very small percentage. But Poland was full of Jews, and Hitler takes it over, and Stalin spit roasts it with him, and they split it in two. And then the Jews that were there, they hadn't moved. That's where the problems came. So we knew he was doing bad things, but the Allies did not know about the camps, and for a good reason. A lot of those camps, they weren't death camps yet when we invaded. Remember, the real, they were always killing Jews, don't get me wrong, but the real death in mass, herd a couple hundred of them in the shower stall and gas them and throw their bodies in the furnace, that didn't come until the Nazis started losing the war. When things kind of came apart for them in the Soviet Union and they started heading back the other direction, it was towards the end of the war where the real major mass killings really began. So no, we did not know about death camps. We knew there were camps, of course. We had intelligence. We knew they were held here and people were held here. But that was stuff, honestly. A lot of that stuff was discovered by the Soviets, and we ended up liberating camps too. But as the Soviets were fighting back and pushing the Nazis back, remember the Nazis had taken over so much of the Soviet Union, and then the Soviets started killing Nazis all the way back to Berlin. Well, as they're doing that, they're going through Poland, and they're saying, you need to see what we found here. You can read stories about American troops who found these death camps too. There are stories of American troops handing their weapons to the Jews to go mow down the rest of the camp guards who were there because they were so mortified by what they found. Even the Soviets, even the dirtball commie scumbag Soviets walked into the camps and said, someone better get this on film. This is bad. It's really, really bad. Think about that. If you had never, now Holocaust is one of those things everyone knows about now. It's built into everybody. But think about coming across a mountain of shoes or gold teeth or hair. They would save the hair for purposes. I'm not a pile, a hill of it. How creepy would it be? It would, I mean, finding out that man can do that to other man is... So no, we didn't know. Anyway, Jesse, it's clear our politicians are heavily influenced by PACs and stuff like that. Ha ha ha. See, we were just talking about that. Why aren't patriotic Americans, of which there are many, banding together to crowdfund money to influence key politicians and votes in the form of donations. His name is Conrad. Well, we are. We do donate to campaigns. I do it very, very rarely because I just don't like doing that. It feels gross. But I've had candidates on before who I support, who I believe in, and ask to donate to them. We do donate to candidates when we can. Sometimes it's $5, right? Sometimes that's all you can do, but that stuff matters. Stuff matters a lot. And look, there are more ways to fight culture wars than just donating to politicians. In fact, there are probably a lot of better ways. Look, you give to Preborn, $28. You can send $28 to your dirtball congressman, or you can send $28 to Preborn and save a life. Preborn is out there with you saving lives. Do you know how many lives they saved last year because of you? Well, you saved 58,000 human beings are alive today because of what you and Preborn did last year, giving free ultrasounds to women who are about to have an abortion. Remember, Preborn is tax deductible, and there's no limit on what you can give. You give them $5,000, you fund their entire network for 24 hours. That's 200 lives. Give them $28. Give them $5. $5,000. Give them what you can. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of The Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't forget, enjoy yourself this weekend. Enjoy yourself. Get away from politics. Chris, do you have that Dome soundbite from today? Dome got up today and spoke, and I still can't get out of my mind as I watch Biden deteriorate that this person, there's a better than 50-50 chance this person is going to be president of the United States of America.
Because now what people perhaps had never seen before can be seen to know what's possible. But the brilliance of this inaugural class and its leaders is the ability to see what can be, unburdened by what has been.
She did it again. She loves that line. She uses that line all the time. How many times have we made fun of her for using that line? The funniest part of it is it's such commie gobbledygook. That's what she's saying. Let us destroy everything so we can make everything different. That's really what she's saying. But some speechwriter wrote that line for Dome who knows how long ago, and she just fell in love with it. And now it's part of every speech. See what can be, unburdened by what has been. And it's such flowery, commie, Democrat gobbledygook. Gosh. Jesse, I've been listening to you for a couple of years now. Can't get enough. Been in the workforce 40 years, been applying decent money to my 401k. My 401k is going bonkers and has had only one bad year in the last 8 or so. My question is, how is this positive direction being sustained? All I hear is economic doom and gloom, but my account seems to not care. What say you? Oh yeah, and I finally did switch my cell accounts to PureTalk. My dime wife just remarked today, I am so impressed with this new cell phone service, I don't drop calls anymore. So thanks for the tip. It says I can say his name is Ray. Yes, by the way, switch to PureTalk. Their coverage is the same, 5G. In fact, it might even be a little better than what you got. You will pay less. The average family pays about half. They save about $1,000 a year. My family pays half. We pay half of what we were paying at T-Mobile. And it's actually a patriotic company. I'm so sick of these daggone corporations taking my money and using it for Planned Parenthood and all this other crap. Pick up your phone. You can keep your phone, keep your number, or you can get new phone number, whatever you want. They do it all for you, and they're Americans who are polite and they speak English. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Now back to your 401k. We have something actually really bad that's been slowly but surely happening in this country for years. I don't want to act like this is a recent development. We are shrinking. We are eliminating smaller companies, taking out the competition, and all the money is going to the gigantic companies, gigantic corporations, as the government and its laws and its regulations slowly but surely wipes out small business in this country. And COVID majorly accelerated it. I forget what the number is. Don't quote me on this. It's from Carol Roth. I think it was a third of the small businesses in America we lost them during COVID. It was bad. The number is really, really bad. Well, what happens is all that capital goes to the major companies, and the investing is almost all done in these major companies now, who get huge government handouts, huge loans, and the major companies are watching their small business competition disappear. When you combine that with the fact the Fed keeps printing money by the trillion and tossing it at these major companies, the major companies where everyone's 401k is, not everyone, but so many of these 401ks, go look at it. When's the last time you looked at yours? I remember being mortified when I looked at mine by how much commie crap was in there. But it's all Apple, ExxonMobil, Pfizer. It's all the big companies that benefit from a gangster capitalism country where we're no longer free markets. Now it's gangster capitalism where they all just hand money to each other. That's where your 401k is. Well, those companies have only gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. The Amazons of the world loved COVID, remember? They loved it. That's why the 401ks oftentimes look as good as they do. The problem is that bubble's got to pop. When you're building it on printed money, on loaned out money, which is what so much of this is built on, the bubble has to pop. They overheated the economy, dumped trillions of dollars into it. And yeah, it made your 401k with your Apple stock look really good. It doesn't look that good once the music stops. Now, when is that music going to stop? I don't know. But that's why your 401k, if you still have one, that's why it looks good, but people can't afford bread. Normal people, I shouldn't say normal people because everyone's normal, you know, rich, poor, whatever. I'm not trying to do an anti-rich thing. I'm not anti-rich people. I hope you make it. Go kill it. But middle class and below people can feel themselves getting poorer every single day. But if you've got a big fat 401k, it looks good and it's creating this gigantic disconnect. But I want to again remind you what Jerome Powell had to say. It's a little long, just listen.
Another economic hangover after the pandemic is a sharp increase in the national debt. 30 years from now, it is projected to be $144 trillion or $1 million per household.
How do you assess the national debt?
We mostly try very hard not to comment on fiscal policy and you know, instruct Congress on how to do their job when actually they have oversight over us.
But is the national debt a danger to the economy, in your view?
In the long run, the U.S. is on an unsustainable fiscal path. The U.S. federal government's on an unsustainable fiscal path. And that just means that the debt is growing faster than the economy.
I have the sense this worries you very much.
Over the long run, of course it does. You know, we're borrowing from future generations. It's time for us to get back to putting a priority on fiscal sustainability, and sooner is better than later.
How wild is it? I'll leave you with this, but how wild is it? It drives me crazy, and we talk about it on the show, that the debt becoming a crisis for this nation is a guarantee. No ifs, ands, or buts. It doesn't matter whether you're left, right, middle. It's not a Democrat, Republican thing. It's a math thing. We know for a fact that the debt will cause a catastrophic crisis for this country if we don't reduce spending and stop printing money, and no one is doing it. No one is even seriously proposing it. Nobody. Everyone is, all these politicians, they're all looking at the numbers. They all know exactly what I just said is true. It cannot be argued. It's not possible to argue it. There is a debt crisis coming, and no one is even suggesting spending cuts. Maddening. Maddening to watch. Maddening for all of us. Whatever. Let's get away from all this garbage. Put your phone down. It's weekend time. Well, hold on. Send me an email, then put your phone down. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now put your phone down. Go enjoy your family. We'll be back to do it again on Medal of Honor Monday. All right? That's all.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.